Om Agnatamirandasya Janatanasalakaya Chakshusamilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vancha Kalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pabhinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. When Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, the residents of Vrindavan, they were unlimitedly disturbed. Why? Because they had unlimited affection for Krishna. Krishna was everything for them. Just as... have any of you ever fainted? Raise your hand if you've ever fainted. Okay. It's amazing. So few people have fainted. Okay. Anyway, I once fainted. Actually, twice now that I think about it. One time I fainted in Hong Kong when I was waiting for Prabhupada at the airport and I was in Maya. I mean, not that I'm not in Maya, but I was even more in Maya. And maybe I wasn't more in Maya either. But anyway, I was in Maya. And when Prabhupada, we were waiting and waiting for Prabhupada, and we had actually arranged a Rolls Royce to pick Prabhupada up from the airport. And of course, a wonderful, wonderful flower garland for him. And the plane had arrived, but the driver of the Rolls Royce wasn't there yet. And the flower garland hadn't come either. And I was in Maya also. And then the people started coming out from that flight. And the driver of the Rolls Royce wasn't there. And the flower garland wasn't there. And I was starting to get really in anxiety. And more people came out. And the driver wasn't there, and the flower garland wasn't there. And then Prabhupada came out. Now, to see Prabhupada, no offense to any Hong Kong Chinese devotees here, Jai Shri may be there, but Hong Kong is a dark place, so much in the mode of passion. And it was like the sun. Because it wasn't that Prabhupada, you didn't save on your electric bills if Prabhupada was in the room, but there was an energy, like Vrindavan has that kind of energy. It's from a different realm. So suddenly Prabhupada walked, and there was, at those days it was Kai Tak Airport, and there was a ramp coming down, and Prabhupada appeared. And suddenly he was walking down, and before that moment, the driver wasn't there, and the garland wasn't there, and I was so afraid that Prabhupada's going to come, and there he was. And the moment he arrived, the driver of the Rolls Royce was there, and the garland was there, and Prabhupada was there, and I fainted. It was complete anxiety. And what kept me on my feet is His Holiness Satsarup Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary at that time. And I was like, and Satsarup Maharaj just kept looking at me, what should we do with the luggage? What should we do with the luggage? What should we? And because of that, but there was another time I fainted also. And I won't say much about it, but had eaten something that was a bit spoiled. And it was such an amazing experience that you feel your consciousness. I felt my consciousness just being withdrawn, just slowly being withdrawn from my body. And then suddenly, boom, I was out. And so the residents of Vrindavan, they were practically fainted. The cowherd boys were fainted. Okay. The cowherd boys had fainted. Like what? What was the example that Srila Sukadeva Goswami gave to give us to paint a picture for us? And I find this particular pastime, it really paints pictures. How many of you thought about Krishna being held in the coils of the snake last night? How many of you? Anyway, I did too. So, but anyway, these are really pictures. They're pictures centered on Krishna, and this is perfection. Smartavyo satatam Vishnu Vishmartavyo najatachit sarva vidhi nisedacha etya eva kinkara. Kinkara means servant. We're supposed to be remembering Krishna, and the purpose of our retreat, in one sense, of course, we're hearing Krishna Katha, which is the purpose, and that's its purpose in and of itself. But we want to be able to naturally think about Krishna and all the pastimes of Krishna. And when that fills our consciousness continuously, naturally, spontaneously, we are not in this world, practically speaking. Even though we must act practically in the world, but everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. So, when Krishna was held in the coils of the... That's a big monkey. When Krishna was held in the coils of Kaliya, the cowherd boys fainted. And what did the cows do? Who remembers? Raise your hand if you remember what the cows did. They what? The cows? They cried and they made sounds like words of people. And they couldn't cry, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, because their eyes were completely dried up out of the anxiety that their beloved Krishna was in difficulty. He wasn't moving in the coils of the snake, and no one could even tell if he was alive or not. So after all the residents of Vrindavan came to the bank of the Jamuna, called by their anxiety when they found out that Krishna had gone to herd the cows without Balaram. So they ran and ran, following. How did they know where Krishna went? Raise your hand if you remember. Yes. They followed the footprints of Krishna. They searched and searched and searched. Here's one. There's one. There's one. And they followed these footprints until they came to the bank of the Yamuna. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when Nanda Maharaj and the others got there, they saw, what a scene. Krishna was in the coils of the snake. And the cowherd boys were on the ground or mad, and they couldn't even say what had happened, and the cows were also. And they just cried loudly. And the depth of their anxiety was even greater. So then Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes how the young gopis reacted. And after the young gopis, how the Mother Yasoda and all her sisterly affectionate friends, the ladies of Vrindavan, reacted. And then the cowherd men of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and the others, reacted. So the gopis, the word used was anurakta manaso, Bhagavati Anante. Their minds were so attached to Krishna, and they were attached to him for his smiles, his sweet loving words, and they were remembering him and remembering him and thinking that he was now lost, their priyatama, their dearest, dearest, dearest to themselves. And they saw the whole world as if it was shunya, as Mahaprabhu Shanyayate Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vedahename. And then Mother Yashoda and all the ladies, they just fixed their vision, anupravishtam, on Krishna. And one of the ladies said, look, can you see his beautiful face? Even though he's within the coils of the snake, he's looking at us. And then, just to stop Mother Yashoda from walking into the poisonous waters, the ladies, they held on to her. They wouldn't let her walk into the water. And they just poured the nectar of Braja Priya Kata in her ears. What does that mean? Braja Priya Kata. Oh, you know what that means. You're just being shy. What does Braja Priya Kata mean? Krishna Kata. Of that one, they just spoke to Mother Yashoda, one after the next. Oh, don't worry about Krishna. Remember what he did to Putana. Remember what he did to this one and Sakatasura and this demon and Bakasura and Vatsasura. Don't worry. But yet they all, practically speaking, were stunned and could not move. And then the cowherd men, they immediately wanted to enter the waters of the Jamuna, and Balaram himself forbade them. So our acharyas say that Lord Balaram expanded into many Balarams, and with each Balaram it took all the strength of Balaram to hold back each of the cowherd men. And he used his prahasyan. What does prahasyan mean? His smile, to assure them that Krishna was going to be all right. And also he used his words to assure them. He told them, remember what Gargacharya said? That if you take shelter of him, anena sarva durgani yunja nanjas tarishyata. If you take shelter of him, you shall pass beyond all the obstacles of this world. So if his shelter will always save you, he's certainly going to be all right. And then, if you enter the water, you may die. And then when he comes out of the water, who will help him? Who will take care of him? So you cannot go in. Don't go in. Don't go in. So in this way, despite the unlimited anxiety of all the Brajabasis, they remained alive and no one entered the water. But then, we'll begin now. Then, in this fashion, itam swagokulanam ananyagatim. Ananyagatim means these persons who had no other shelter but him, Nariksham. Krishna was observing from within the coils of Kaliya. He was observing that these person, his own people of Gokula, Swagokulam, his own people of Gokula, yes, his own people of Gokula, Nariksham, he observed this, that they had no other shelter but him. And who were they? They were the ladies, such as Mother Yashoda, the Kumaras, such as Sridham, and they were feeling dukitam, ati dukam. They were feeling the greatest distress seeing him in that condition. And Krishna was thinking that this is atmahetu, that this is caused by me, by my situation. This is being caused by me. They are in distress because of me, and I cannot tolerate that. So, Agya, Matya Padavim Anuvartmana. Anuvartmana means, Anu means following the pathway of the people of this world, understanding it, the Martya, those mortals, understanding, and this is, there are a few explanations of what is meant by this, but understanding the ways of the mortals, stitva, that Krishna, muhurtam, he remained in the coils of the snake for one muhurta. One calculates a muhurta by dividing a tithi, a day, into 30 parts. And if there's 24 hours a day and you times that by 60 to make the minutes and divide it by 30, it comes to 48. So there's approximately 48 minutes in a muhurta, but sometimes in the astronomical calculations, the muhurtas are longer or shorter depending upon the tithi, the length of a day, when it's divided in 1/30. So Krishna remained following the ways of the world, of the mortals in this world. Krishna remained within the coils of Kaliya, Uranga Bandhat. He remained there, caught for 48 minutes. And then, Udatishtad. Then he rose up. He got up out of the coils. Now, how did he do that? Will be heard in the next verse. So, our acharyas commented in several ways on some of the points here. Why did Krishna wait so long? One is, Srila Jiva Goswami said that he wanted others to see the faults, the wickedness of Kaliya. And then he also, following in the ways of the world, in a motionless state, through the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I'll read you Vishwanath's comment. Seeing that they had no other resort, they had no other shelter, they had no other meaning to their lives but him. What is the word? Is no other meaning? That he was their only shelter? Do you remember? Ananyagatim. And understanding, agyai, knowing their sorrow, after remaining for one muhurta in a motionless state, Krishna said, you have shown your strength to me, and now I will show you a little of my power, although I am just a cowherd boy. And saying that, he broke free from the snake, and he stood up. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He completely understood, Krishna completely understood, that all the people, including the women and children, had reached the pinnacle. How do you say pinnacle in Hindi? Prashanta, do you know? Yeah, very good, very good. The pinnacle, the topmost position of distress and suffering on account of him. Krishna was thinking like this. Krishna, by his nature, Jiva Goswami says, that Krishna, by his nature, he cannot tolerate the suffering of any being, of anyone. And he, not themselves, was the cause of their suffering. Now that is very interesting from the philosophical point of view. Krishna, Srila Jiva Goswami says, cannot tolerate the suffering of any being. And a distinction is made, in my understanding, between the kind of suffering that Krishna is causing, which is what Krishna thought he was causing the residents of Vrindavan due to him being in that terrible position and their love for him. But Krishna cannot tolerate the sufferings of any living being. But this is the suffering that he was causing him. But who was causing my suffering in this world? So often, or sometimes, we may think it is Krishna who causes that suffering. But it's not actually Krishna who causes that suffering, but it is ourselves who cause ourselves suffering. Because this material world, practically speaking, actually speaking, is a reaction, or a necessary reaction. And our position in the material world is a reaction against our turning our back on Krishna. There is envy, there is enmity in the heart of every conditioned soul that does not wish to acknowledge their position of eternal loving service and subordination to Krishna. And Maya paints a picture of the material world if we turn our back on Krishna, that presents the possibilities of happiness without Krishna. And that is the very nature of the material world, from the smallest living entity to Lord Brahma, a Brahma Bhuvana Loke, Purna Arvatuna Arjuna, from the topmost position to the lowest position. Due to this turning our back on Krishna, due to the misuse of our freedom, due to the choices that we have made, we end up in a situation of suffering that we cause ourselves. So how does Krishna feel about that suffering? On one hand, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Samoham Salabhuteshu Name Dveshosti. He's equal. He's neutral as the Supersoul. But Krishna actually isn't neutral. So he doesn't want to see the living entities suffering. We want to have our back turned to him. So he's always, always sending messengers. He's sending his beloved servants, his beloved son, sending transcendental literatures, sending the holy names. And these are all telling us of the one path away from suffering, the one path to free us, and that is to turn back to Krishna. And the path of turning back to Krishna is called Saranagati. It is the purpose of sadhana, of all the practices. It is turning to Krishna, which means acknowledging our relationship with him. And even one time saying, Krishna, sincerely saying, Krishna, I am yours. And Krishna never forgets that. And later on, Kaliya will think, Krishna, now I am yours. His body will be so broken and bruised that he doesn't have the strength to say it even. But he surrenders to Krishna. Krishna, you are my Lord and I am yours. Please, please, how can I serve you? This is the natural position of all of us. And when we come to Vrindavan, the greatest devotees, they can see Krishna's pastimes going on in Vrindavan. But even the littlest devotees can perceive clearly that this place is not ordinary, it is extraordinary. It is extraordinary. It is a tirtha. It is a sacred space. It is liminal space where the spiritual world is just, we put down, if we just put down that very thin white curtain over here, Giriraj would be half visible through it, but we also put down the blue one. But the white one, if it's there and the sun is shining, we would be able to almost see Giriraj through it. And that's what a tirtha is like. That is what the holy Dham of Vrindavan is like. You can perceive that something is going on here that has nothing to do with anything else I've experienced in this world. And once one has some experience about Vrindavan, and the question will always come up when we leave at the end of the retreats, which we shouldn't talk about at this point because it's no fun, but how do you take it with you? How can one take this rarefied atmosphere, which is the land of surrender, the land of the soul glorifying Krishna, how could you take that with you? That's the question that gets asked 10, 20, 30, 40 times, or everyone thinks it. How can I take it with me? So we can't lift the hill and take it with us along with all the devotees and the tent and everything like that. And on one level, we can't take it with us, but we can never forget it either. And on another level, the way to try to take it with us is by hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. And the more we can fill our consciousness, our life, our hearts with hearing and chanting, the more we can take it with us, the more we will have it. It will be ours. So, Vishwanath said, he and not themselves was the cause of their suffering. And they were suffering because of his suffering. Now that's the difference. In this world, we suffer because of ourselves and we feel sorry for ourselves. In the spiritual world, the suffering is all due to fear that, oh, Krishna may be inconvenienced. It is all based on love, spontaneous love that cannot be imitated. But this is our process of developing it. So, Krishna, realizing that they were suffering because of his suffering, thus he released himself from the snake's coils. This is Jiva Goswami. He did this quickly. And all this was seen by the residents of Vrindavan. See, the Sanatana Goswami says, he was grieved by their lamentable condition. And seeing himself as the Lord of dedicated souls, which really points to what the mission of our life is, Ananyagatim, to become dedicated to Krishna, to give ourselves to Krishna fully, to surrender to Krishna. I am yours. Krishna thought, I must immediately protect them. And immediately he rose out of the water. There was a time in the early days of the movement that the brahmacharis, they wouldn't have any money. They were not allowed to have any money. I don't know what it's like now, but then, because that was very frightening to some, they used to have some money in a bank account. And we used to call that the bloop fund. Just in case. So, although it sounds cute and funny, but that's not Ananyagatim. So we all, conditioned souls, all tend to rely on something other than Krishna. This is the very nature of a conditioned soul, to rely on something other than Krishna, just in case. Ananyagatim means no. There is no just in case. Krishna whatever you want to do to me, I am yours. Sound frightening? But this is what it means to be a surrendered to devotee. Frightening or not frightening. Okay, Krishna, I'm yours. Let me turn to you in every circumstance. This is the path of surrender, the path of bhakti. Okay. So Krishna, tat priyatamana, he began expanding himself. He expanded himself. And Vapusha, the body, expanded his body. Vyatit tatma bogas. And his expanding, it gave the serpent so much pain because he was holding Krishna tightly. And previously, he could hold Krishna. And then Krishna's body began expanding and getting bigger and bigger because Krishna is unlimited and possessing unlimited strength. And the snake tried to squeeze him tightly, and he couldn't, and Krishna was forcing him to let go. And Kaliya felt as if his body was being ripped apart. And Chakva, he was forced, when giving up the body. So Chakva means giving up. So he was forced to give up Krishna. He was forced to let Krishna go, to release Krishna. And then, un namaya kupita. So here's more description of Kaliya is given here. Un namaya kupitas fafanam bujanga. So, kupita means in great anger. He was forced to release Krishna. And perhaps some of you know what this feels like. You really want to do something, just like Kaliya really wanted to squeeze Krishna. And then someone or something happens that forces you to give up your desire, in the sense of it foils your desire. It stops you from getting what you want. And the first reaction to that is, what? You've done this to me? I experience this all the time when I'm in the temple room of Krishna Balaram Mandir. I'm trying to see the deities. And the brahmacharis are like spinning around. Or they hold each other like this and they spin around. Not the brahmacharis so much, but I think it's the congregational members from Delhi. They just spin around and spin around and spin around, and you're trying to. And then they sometimes they have this wild smile on their face, and they knock you. And then I sort of do what Kaliya does. He became kupita, very angry. And one time I saw him in the temple room. There was a little old Brijbasi lady, and she was just respecting the deities and sort of looking at the people spinning around. And one of them hit her and knocked her down. And I thought, how dare they do this? And I went over, and she didn't even notice. She just sort of got up and just went back, because she was probably very used to things like this happening. Her false ego was very, 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 wasn't there. But those of us who are cursed by pride, like Kaliya, he raised higher his phanam, his hoods. This serpent did this, eva phanam. He raised it higher with great anger. And tastau, he stood still. Oh. That That was much too fast. He stood still. And he stared at Krishna. He stared at Krishna. And he was breathing, swavas, breathing heavily. And his nostrils were vishambarisha, which means they were like two pots of boiling, burning poison. You have done this to me as I was squeezing you? You have released yourself? Now you will see who I am. He had over 1,000 hoods, 100 of which were prominent. And he raised them high and stared at Krishna, fixing his eyes, stabde ikshana umuka. His eyes were like a firebrand. A firebrand means when you take a piece of wood and you place it in the fire, and when you take it out, the end of it is burning. So his eyes were like a burning firebrand. He was breathing heavy. His nostrils were like pots of poison. And he stared at Krishna. Muko harim ikshmana. Just looking at the face of Krishna. So this text describes, even in a more graphic way, the poisonous mood of Kaliya. And let's go to the next one. And he's called, interesting that he is called Hari here. Krishna is called Harim Ikshanam. He was just staring at Krishna. And Hari means many things. What is one meaning of Hari? Like in Haryana. What does it mean in Haryana? I think green, yes? But Hari, and Hari also means lion. But also it means he who takes away. So he was staring at Hari, who was going to take away his anger by taking away his pride. But Srila Sanatana Goswami, in the mood that we have previously discussed of seeing Kaliya as the greatest devotee, because otherwise how could he be in Vrindavan and have such an intimate contact with Krishna? He describes Kaliya did not feel pain, but he was angry out of affection. He was angry because there he was embracing Krishna, and Krishna freed himself from his embrace, and therefore he was angry, and he was staring at Krishna, because if Krishna was in front of anyone, who could not stare at Krishna? He's so attractive. So that is Srila Sanatana Goswami's wonderful explanation of what is going on. More description of Kaliya and his anger. So tam jivaya drivsikaya parilelahanam. He was repeatedly licking with his split tongues in his anger, with his hood raised. He was repeatedly licking his lips with his split tongues. Dve Srikantiya. He was lipping his lips with his two lips with his split tongues. And indeed, he, iti karala vishagni grisham. His glance, previously described as a firebrand, was most terrible. Atikarala, not only Karala, but Atikarala, Visha Agni, poison, fire, combined together. So he was staring at Krishna in this way. So here's little Krishna and this huge thousand-hooded serpent who is angry and filled with poison. He was staring at Krishna. And what was Krishna doing? Krishna was kridan. He wanted to play. And this is such an interesting part of this pastime. In all Krishna's pastimes, Krishna wants to play. But in this pastime especially, Krishna is going to chastise Kaliya. But he's going to do it in such a playful way. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And everything he does is playful and meant for his enjoyment. So Krishna was playing. He was having fun. So what he did, Parisara Yata Kagengro, he started moving. Kaliya was looking at him, staring at him. And Krishna, Kaliya was trying to move towards Krishna, and whichever way he moved, Krishna would move around him. And then Kaliya would go this way and this way, and they would go around and around and around. And Kaliya, at every moment, while Krishna was playing with him, just like Garuda, Kaga Indra, the king of birds, Garuda, Kagendro, Babrahma Sopi Avasaram Pasamikshamana. He was carefully, Ikshamana, he was carefully every moment looking for an opportunity to bite Krishna. But Krishna was moving so carefully and quickly that he could not find that opportunity. He would move this way, and Krishna would move around that way. Then Kaliya would move this way, and Krishna would move around that way, again and again and again, around and around, until Kaliya, evam, in this way, paribrahma, because of the Lord's Brahma, Brahmanda Brahmate, moving around and around, the jiva is, well, Kaliya was moving around and around and around. Because of this moving around and around, his ojasam became spoiled and taken away. But still, in other words, his strength became diminished due to this playfully moving around by Krishna, as Kaliya tried to look for an opportunity to strike him. And at the same time, Kaliya was raising, the word in the Sanskrit was amsam, and translated as his shoulders, but means like this. He kept his heads like this, raised high. And then Krishna, Anamya Tat Pritu Shirasa. Now Kaliya's heads were very broad. His major heads were very broad. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains how Krishna did it. He took his hand and put it on Kaliya's head and pushed it down. And then what did Krishna do? Adi Ruda Adya. He who is the Adya, the ultimate origin of everything, Adirudha. He jumped up. I just made a new word by combining climbed and jumped. We got jimed. He jimed up on Kaliya. And then Krishna, touching the head of Kaliya, which was covered with jewels, his lotus feet, which are soft and naturally reddish, by touching the jewels, his feet were so soft that even though he started to dance and touch those jewels so lightly, still his lotus feet became still more reddish by the touch of those jewels. Tanmurda Ratna Nikara Sparsha Atitamra, very much Atitamra, very much reddish by the touch of the jewels. And then Pada Ambuja. What does Pada Ambuja mean? Lotus feet. He who has lotus feet. Akila means Karadi Guru. He is the Adi Guru. He is the original guru of everything, including the fine art of dancing. He began Nanarta. He began to dance upon the heads of Kaliya. Krishna is going to chastise Kaliya. But look how he does it. In such a playful way, he begins to dance. Srila Jiva Goswami says Krishna's feet were soft, so they became reddish, even by lightly touching the jewels. And he also says the description of Krishna's lotus feet as turning reddish indicates the beauty of those lotus feet. And the words Adi Guru, that Krishna, who is Kaladi Guru, means Kala means fine arts. He is the original teacher of all fine arts. He is the guru of all fine arts. Narti began to dance. But the word guru in there, Adi Guru, guru, it hints, our acharyas say, that Kaliya is going to meet with great fortune because he has found his guru. I'll read the comment of Srila Sanatana Goswami, a part of the comment, and then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Though Kaliya was fatigued from Krishna circling him, his shoulders were still raised. This means that he was still angry, which means he had pride left in him. I will show him. He is making me tired, but I will show him who I am. Kaliya's head was broad, making it suitable for a dancing arena. And dancing on his head revealed Krishna's beauty, his absorption in dancing, and his skill. So Krishna, please see this picture in your mind. How Krishna was dancing upon his heads, and Krishna looked so beautiful in this way, and all the residents of Vrindavan were in complete distress before seeing Krishna motionless and wrapped in the coils of Kaliya, and suddenly Krishna had freed himself and they were circling each other, and then suddenly Krishna jumped upon the head of Kaliya and he started dancing. And all the residents of Vrindavan were watching this. And he was fully absorbed in his playful dancing. Sanatana Goswami said, he was skillful. He was dancing. And he was absorbed in the dancing. And the chastising of Kaliya was something that just happened more or less because of him wanting to playfully dance. And Kaliya's heads were perfect for that. He was the best teacher of all arts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna was able to bend down Kaliya's head with one hand, and he raised himself upon Kaliya's head and he began to dance. Harivamsa confirms this. He danced with his lotus feet, which were reddened. So not only was Krishna absorbed in the dancing, not only was he dancing skillfully, but his feet, as he danced upon Kaliya, were reddish and beautiful. And he was dancing so elegantly. The dancer sometimes dances on various objects, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, such as dishes or big plates, to show his expertise. And Krishna danced on the moving heads of Kaliya for this reason, and also to show that he was the guru of all fine arts. So, I had never seen this before. What does it mean as a dancer dances on dishes? Has anyone ever seen a dancer dancing on dishes? Yes, it's quite amazing. I Googled it. And there's a particular type of dancing that's called, it's a South Indian, Kuchipudi dancing. How do you say that? Kuchipudi, something like that. Yeah? Any Kuchipudi dancers here? When Jagatrini Mataji spoke on Kaliya, there was one devotee, Gora Nataraj, who came, and he did such a nice dance on the stage. And he demonstrated not this Kuchipudi dancing, but he demonstrated the nature of this kind of Bharatanatyam dancing, where you hit the ground with your heels. So it's going to describe how Krishna does this. And they have such potency. Generally, I would just stand up and demonstrate. But since I've left my dish home today, at times like this, one would like to be a Bharatanatyam dancer. They're so delicate, the way that they do it, and that the way they put their knees in a particular direction, and they bounce like this, and they hit their heels, and then they make this sound that everyone is amazed at. They can, when you learn the musical instruments, even the drums and things like that in India, they learn it by mantra. Does anyone know any drum mantras that can say them really fast, or any of the dancing mantras? No? Okay. But they say, and Krishna was making, as he was dancing and moving, and these Kuchipudi dancers, they put their feet on these dishes, and they put their big toe on one side of the plate and their other toes on the other side like this. And then just by moving their heels and manipulating, they can move the plate all over the stage. Like that. But all the time they're doing this, they're pounding this plate with their heels again and again and again. So Krishna was pounding with his heels Kaliya's heads, and he was dancing, fully absorbed in the rhythms that of the sounds. He was making all these sounds of the mantras, the dancing mantras, as he was dancing and pounding Kaliya's heads. And he would jump from one head to the next, and one head would become smashed because they would pound and pound with the heel. And then another head, because he had 1,000 heads, 100 of which were prominent. And then another head, he would not give up. Another head would come up, and it would try to attack Krishna, and then Krishna would jump up on that head and ta 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 and dance. And all the residents of Vrindavan are watching this incredible dancing display. And he's pounding with his heels again and again. Again, and then this head would become beaten down and crushed by the dancing, the pounding dancing of Krishna. and still another head. And another head would come up, and Krishna would jump on that head, and jump on that head. And he would dance and pound and pound and pound. So tam nartam ujyatam avekshatad tadiya. Tadiya means tadiyanam samacharam. Those who are intimately connected with Krishna. Krishna's servants. So Krishna's servants, tanartam, seeing that Krishna, ujyatam, engaged, avikshya means seeing, seeing that Krishna was engaged in dancing. His servants were the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Munis, the Charanas, these are all exalted personalities, and the Deva Vadya, the wives of the Devatas. They join this festival. And with great pleasure, with pritya, they began to play mridangas, panava, anakas, and they began to sing. And then in the final line here, pushpoahara nutibi sahas pushedo. They began to shower flowers. So Krishna is playfully dancing on one hood after the next, and the devatas are showering flowers and playing drums and singing along in glorification. And Kaliya is still raising one hood after the next to try to attack Krishna in this. And this, this is the nature of false ego. That we try and try again. We get beaten by the material nature one time, but yes, I will show that, and I raise up another hood, and that one gets pounded down. And Prabhupada even said, in his last few years, he said, an old man, and this goes for old ladies too, I'm sure, cannot be proud. One's pride must get crushed by material nature. It must get crushed because all the things that we're proud of, I could go through, I used to be able to run for hours and hours without getting tired. I used to have hair. I used to have teeth. One by one, not one by one with the hair, but one by one, all the upadis, everything that isn't us that we think is us, everything that isn't actually us, but we imagine is us, old age steals away. When one is younger, one thinks one's going to go on running and jumping and playing and digesting halava forever. But I can promise you it's not going to happen. Through experience I can make this promise. The knees start hurting, the ankles start hurting, the neck starts hurting, the shoulders start hurting, the lower back starts hurting. On and on and on and on. And whatever we have that we're proud of that isn't eternally us gets taken away, stolen away by time. But yet, we try again. We try again, try again. We use our intelligence. We use this. We do this. We use our beauty to influence. We use our this to get our way. We use our money. But all of it stolen away by time. So Kaliya, Kalosmin Lokachaya Krit, Krishna says, I am time himself. He is going to steal away all of Krishna's pride, all of Kaliya's pride by his relentless pounding. So while he's doing this, and this part somehow or another it just struck me that as Kaliya is being chastised by Krishna, by this dancing, Krishna is just dancing, putting on a dramatic dancing performance that's so wonderful. And the devotees and their wives are showering flowers and playing instruments to support Krishna in his wonderful dancing. And he's just enjoying himself playing. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur even explains that one of the reasons why Krishna is doing this, showing this great, delicate, perfectly skillful dancing performance while the residents of Vrindavan are watching this, because at this particular time, this takes place in the 16th chapter of the 10th canto, in the 15th chapter you get the first hint of Purvarag, the Purvarag of the Braja Gopikas, their budding love for Krishna. Because when Krishna's coming home after playing with the cowherd boys and after Balaram and he killed Dhanukasura and their companions, when Krishna's coming home from the forest with the cowherd boys, Krishna and the gopis in two verses in the 15th chapter, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes this budding relationship through an exchange of glances. So here, and the gopis couldn't look at Krishna because they're young girls, they're married, and this attractive boy is entering the town. So they couldn't just stare at him, or rather, actually, they did actually stare at him, and then Krishna caught them looking at him. And there's a whole beautiful description of this. And then they became very, very shy, and they covered their heads with their cloth, but they smiled. So up until this time, the gopis couldn't look at Krishna directly. But during the Kaliya Leela, everyone in Vrindavan, like the Govardhan Leela, was just staring at Krishna, enwrapped in the coils. And then when he jumped up and began dancing with lightened, happy hearts, everyone still stared at Krishna. And the gopis had their opportunity to stare at Krishna at that time, and no one could complain. So Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by his dancing, wanted to show the young girls of Braja who were attracted to him his skill in dancing. He wanted to impress on them that in the near future we will meet and dance. So look what Krishna is doing in this pastime. So whichever, yachachiro, whatever head that would not bow down, and again, I see this as so parallel to the situation of a conditioned soul, must get pounded. No one escapes. Whichever head doesn't bow down, didn't bow down, and here Sukadeva again calls Maharaj Parikshit, Anga, my dear one, now, in happiness, my dear one, my who is as dear to me as the very parts of my own body, of he sata eka shirsna, of he who had 100 heads, Krishna, mamarda, he trampled down those heads, angri patai, with the blows of his feet. And gradually, china ayusha brahmata, by the kicking, by the wandering of Krishna, of moving around, Kaliya's life energy was lessened. It was becoming depleted. and terrible blood began to pour from his mouths, from his nostrils, and he started vomiting. Parama Kajmalam, where you could say Parama means the topmost, Kajmalam, misery. He was experiencing the greatest suffering. This Naga, Appanaga, he was experiencing the greatest suffering. And every head that wouldn't bow down, Krishna would jump on that. Next, please. And from Kaliya's eyes, Ngaralam, his eyes had that fiery, poisonous, cruel glance, envious glance. From his eyes, poisonous waste started flowing. But still, Kaliya would try again and again to raise one of his heads. Again and again. And he was breathing heavily out of anger still. Why was he angry? Because he was proud. And he was being defeated. He was being crushed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is really a devotee's vision when he confronts the difficulties in life. He sees somehow this is Krishna calling me to him even more. So no one wants difficulties, but difficulties, they always come. So let us move closer to Krishna. Let the force of difficulties move us closer to Krishna and not raise our heads and try to attack in any way. So each head that he raised, Nrityam Pade Anunumayam Dayayam Babuva, Krishna would subdue that head and force it to bow down. And all this going on, pushed by Papujita, while Krishna was being worshipped, the original Supreme Pumam Purana, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, was being worshipped by the flowers from the higher beings above. Showers of flowers. So at this point, by the powerful dancing of Krishna upon Kaliya's Fana Shastraha, his 1,000 hoods, and with the blood, the rock, Mukai Uruvaman, O King Nripa. At this point, with his Bhagna Gatra, with his limbs crushed, Kaliya, by his great fortune, understood that the person crushing him, defeating him, was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he remembered the Lord. Smitva chara chara gurum purusham purana. He remembered that ancient Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was the universal spiritual master, the universal teacher. Narayanam tam. He remembered the Lord, Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna, and within his mind, Manasa, just within his mind, because he was in so much physical difficulty, he didn't have the physical strength to bow down. This is what it took, Kaliya. Time and time again, when he had strength, he used that strength to try to attack Krishna. but after being completely subdued by the Lord, having no more strength left in his body to even bow down to Krishna. Tam aranam manasam jagama. He approached the Lord and surrendered. Aranam, I surrender to you. That means, now I am yours. Now I am yours. Here where Sukadev says, Nripa, he calls out to Maharaj Prickett, and Sanatana Goswami explains why he said in the middle of this explanation of Kaliya's surrender to Krishna, of his giving himself to Krishna, why he said, O Nripa, O King, to Maharaj Prickett. He said, this is the explanation of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sukadeva is saying, though kings like you punish the wicked, they actually are giving the wicked mercy. The actual meaning is that by dancing on Kaliya's hoods, the snake received the highest mercy, and getting wounded indicates that the dancing was the greatest mercy. The snake became humbled by the removal of his pride when his hoods were damaged. Actually, by destroying his 1,000 hoods, he was destroying his thousands of faults, and he became pure. Thus, he remembered the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami says, hearing hundreds of times previously about Krishna, his evil nature was destroyed, and thus, at this time, he could remember Krishna's identity, and he surrendered in his mind because he did not have the strength to utter the words, I am yours, since he was in extreme pain. Or he remembered that Krishna was Narayana, having heard from his wives, he then surrendered. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, though the seed of bhakti in the form of mercy had previously been planted in Kaliya's heart by his wives, who were exalted devotees, it could not sprout because of his cruel conduct arising from his offenses, his aparadha. As seed sown on barren ground cannot sprout. But when his offenses vanished through the punishment by the touch of Krishna's feet, suddenly the seed of his devotion began to sprout. And he thought that Krishna's power is thousands of times greater than that of his enemy Garuda. And therefore, this person must be the Supreme Lord. And that Supreme Lord, as mentioned by his wives, was approachable only by bhakti, making me realize that I'm a fool to think that I am God by displaying my extraordinary strength. The Lord has taken the position of my guru, and he has placed his feet on my head. I take shelter of him. So I'll just read the last two verses for tonight quickly, because as soon as the wives of Kaliya saw that Kaliya had surrendered to Krishna, their mood changed. When Kaliya's wives saw how the serpent had become so fatigued from the excessive weight of Krishna, who after all has the entirety of creation within his belly, and they saw how Kaliya's umbrella-like hoods been shattered by the striking of Krishna's heels again and again as he danced. At that time, seeing that he surrendered, they felt great distress. And with their clothing, their ornaments, and their hair scattered in disarray, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has an interesting comment. The wives approached Krishna, seeing how Kaliya was burdened with Krishna, who, having the universe in his belly, had become most heavy. So he was striking him with that force of the heaviness of the universe. And only by the Icha Shakti, the desire of the Lord, Kaliya was not crushed and killed completely. The wives until now, Vishwanath says, had been indifferent towards their cruel husband. But now they felt sorrow. Previously, they had thought, let him die, and then as widows we can fully surrender to the Lord. But when they saw the symptoms of Sansari Bhava in Kaliya, such as humility, regret, doubt, and indifference to suffering, they thought, now Kaliya has become a Vaishnava, and that is good fortune for us, and we should try to save him. And with this in mind, they came together with affection in their hearts, and with sorrow for his condition, they approached Krishna. Their minds were very much disturbed, and those saintly ladies placed their children before them, and they bowed down to the Lord of all creatures on the ground. They laid their bodies flat upon the ground, and they desired the liberation of their sinful husbands, and they desired the shelter of the Lord. And thus they folded their hands in supplication, Sharana Dham Sharanam Papana. They approached the Lord and they began to pray to him. I'll just end by reading two final comments. The wives, this is Sanatana Goswami, the wives felt in their hearts that Krishna was the Lord of all living beings, and that they had, and that since they had surrendered to him, that he would free Kaliya from all sin. They were filled with bhakti for Krishna, and therefore it was proper for Krishna to give them special mercy. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, it is understood that there was an island in the lake, and there Krishna raised himself while surrounded by the coils of Kaliya. And on that island, enveloped in Kaliya's coils, he was seen by the residents of Gokul. They placed their children in front of Krishna to make Krishna compassionate. Were they not afraid of their husband's offense, and themselves being implicated in his offense? The wives felt in their heart that Krishna was the Lord of all beings. And though they were afraid, where else could they go? They desired that he leave Kaliya alone, since they were loyal wives and they were Krishna's devotees. So much wonder happens when we become Krishna's devotees.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare
Everyone chant.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Krishna Kaliya ki jai, Krishna Kanaya Lal ki jai, Brajraj Dhuli ki jai, Jamuna Maya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bom.